Blog Talk Radio.
Most important questions like where did we come from, who are we, why are we here. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Please, I want to thank all I want to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody listening, and also especially to my mom. And she's the one who helps pay for my show, because it's like the $39.99 a month, the fees for Blog Talk Radio, and to have it for like 2 hours. And they want to thank my mom again, like I said. And I'm going to play the song for her and for every mom listening here on this Mother's Day. Let's see. This one is also by Go Fish. That song, the Viability, was by Go Fish, but this one is called The Mom Song. Here on Truth Be Told Radio.
It's a song from my mommy.
Howdy, spot.
Give me an M. Uh-huh. M. Give me an O.
Give me an O.
O, O. Give me an M.
M.
M, M. What's that spell?
If you have a stroller, but you're still a rock and roller, you're a mom.
You're a mom.
If you're tired of doing dishes and you know who Elmo Fish is, you're a mom.
You're a mom.
Ooh, if you have a lot of fun,
your mom, let me hear you say, here we go, here we go. If you love your mom, let me hear you say, here we go, here we go.
If you mean the whole world to a little boy or girl, you're a mom. The Bible that you hold can shape these little souls, your mom. If you have the most important job in the world, yeah,
you're a mom. You're the boss, the driver, the ultimate survivor. A doctor, a cooker, your man thinks you're a looker.
Once again, that's Go Fish with Mom Song. And you're listening to Trippy Toll Radio. Once again, also, happy Mother's Day. And next, I'm going to do from also Go Fish. This one is called This Is My Father's World. You're on Trippy Toll Radio.
This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my
my father's world. Why should my
You're listening to Trippy Toll Radio. And next song I do for you, this is a song that is called Look Ye Saints from the album Diadem. This is God's Servant.
Rise to always back from the mainland. Yo, it's the great I am, it's the slain lamb. Yo, take a clear view with biblical binoculars. Yo, it's the root of David, come see this conqueror. Yo, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, iron ruler. He's the awesome king, the just and righteous doer. From the throne is coming lightning, till the thunder rumbling from before the Lord God Almighty. Yo, you can see us after seeing as we admire Messiah, just like us in the days of King Uzziah. Yo, shaking the building from the voices of the choir. The house was filled with smoke, it was dope how they cried. Above them stood the seraphim and angelic how to love. With two wings fly, the others used to cover up. Screaming, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled up with the glory that is yours.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords.
Angels, preachers, the people, we are all here, giving our worship to the one that we all fear. You're looking here around the throne, this mass is shouting, numbering in myriads of myriads of thousands, from every creature in heaven, on and under the earth, all day and night, they never cease but celebrate his worth. And now I know this might surprise you, but the center of our anthem is how he's gathered up a people he has ransomed. How marvelous, the God that they had ran from was spill his blood to pay for everything that they had done. Behold the riches he provides them with. He made the sinless one to be sin, so they could be his righteousness. The old earth is groaning, longing for its sequel, as it awaits the full redemption of the sheepfold. And he has rescued them from evil. He will be their God, and they will be his people.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords.
To see the man of sorrows now, and from the fight return victorious, and every knee to him a bow. Yeah, look up, look, you see the sight of glorious. To see the man of sorrows now, and from the fight return victorious. And every need of him a bow. Yeah, the detestable and the wicked, the idolaters and the crooks, are thrown in the lake of fire. If the names ain't in this book, but why the time they can be added, if they only place they faith in the only other name under heaven given to Satan, that of the crucified King of glory, who in all his judgments are unsearchable and ways cannot be scrutinized. Soon he's coming back, send your life to spread his fame. Keep yourself in his love as you eagerly await him.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords.
Some people are so geeky.
How geeky are they?
Hey, they write articles where even the headline is a schnooze. Here's a headline of an article I read recently by Andrea Dilley. The surprising discovery about those colonialist proselytizing missionaries. Oh, I'm sorry. I was The surprising discovery about those colonialist proselytizing missionary. Translation? Hey, those missionaries who go overseas and impose their values on people, we should just leave those cannibals alone and let them just keep eating each other. It's that wicked to impose our values on people. Andrea Dilley decided to do a little research prompted by a sociologist who must be the biggest geek on the planet, and I'm exceedingly grateful for him. Let me introduce you to a sociologist from the article by Andrea Dilley. Robert Woodbury set out to track down the conjecture that Protestant religion and democracy were somehow related. He studied yellowed maps, old maps, spending months charting the longitude and latitude of former missionary stations. He traveled to Thailand and India to consult with local scholars, dug through archives in London, Edinburgh, and that place in India, and talked with church historians all over Europe, North America, Asia, and Africa. Dude is a serious geek, and wow, his discovery, fascinating, with huge implications for the contemporary church, short-term mission trips, and long-term mission trips. Let's continue with our sociologist. What did he discover? Using wide-angle statistical analysis and a technique called two-stage least squares instrumental variable analysis, this guy wrecked the curve on math tests. He concluded that Protestant missionaries didn't set out to change history, but they did. The point of all of that, this sociologist spent a lot of time, a lot of years, a lot of thinking to figure out, did missionaries, when we used to send missionaries for long-term missions trips, they would stay there, did they have an impact on culture, whether intended or not? And what he concluded was a definitive, absolutely. Back to our geeky article, areas where Protestant missionaries had a significant presence in the past are on average more economically developed today, with comparatively better health, lower infant mortality, lower corruption, greater literacy, higher educational attainment, especially for women, and more robust membership in non-governmental associations. Wow. He concluded that all from Protestant missionaries? And the answer is yes, but Robert Woodbury went even further to try to figure out what kind of missionaries are we talking about. You see, back in the old days, there were two types. Some missionaries would just go and do mission ministry that was just a mercy ministry. It wasn't about preaching the gospel. It was just about trying to make society a little bit better. There were other missionaries who focused on the gospel. Intuitively, we might think, well, the people who set about digging wells or focusing on social issues, they had a greater social impact. And that would be a wrong intuition. The reality is, Protestant missionaries who went to proclaim the gospel had longer-lasting sociological impact. No kidding. Back to Robert Woodbury. There is one important nuance to all of this. The positive effect of missionaries on democracy and all the other issues applies only to, this is important, conversionary Protestants. Protestant clergy financed by the state, as well as Catholic missionaries prior to the 60s, had no comparable effect in the areas where they worked. Did you catch the emphasis on that? They were conversionary missionaries. They went to bring the gospel, focusing on converting people. Wah and la, that's French. All of these other things improved along with that. Now, is the gospel message you'll have a higher literacy rate? No. Is the gospel message that culture will be changed for the better, taxes will go down, and the roads will be better? No. However, that tends to be the effect, at least according to sociologist Robert Woodbury. The effects of the gospel are monstrously big when we go to proclaim the gospel, not to make the country or the zip code a better place to live, but we go to save their souls. Boats rise. Now, the implications of that are absolutely staggering. If what this geeky sociologist concluded is correct, what does that mean for us today? How should we be thinking about missions trips? We need to keep in mind, they're sending a missionary to go and live, but predominantly, the issue that impacts so many of us are short-term mission trips. These days, we are spending a lot of money. People are utilizing a lot of resources to go overseas to do what we call short-term missions trips.
Where did you go on your mission trip?
Kansas City.
We went to Costa Rica.
We went to Malheur, Haiti.
I went to Nicaragua.
Same here.
I went to Chicago.
I went down to Juarez, Mexico.
New York City.
We got kids, we've got adults, they're going everywhere, keeping in mind what we just learned from sociologist Robert Woodbury. How effective do we suspect these short-term mission trips might be, considering that the ones, the mission trips that have the most impact on culture and on people are conversionary missions trips?
Mostly to help people, like, that were poor and they couldn't, like, keep up with their homes and stuff.
Just to see, like, how people live there and, like, just help out.
We were working in a homeless shelter at this place called Japusa.
Purpose was to go into the community and just assist wherever assistance was needed. It was inner city.
Work projects where you work on buildings and fix up houses and stuff. And then there's Kids Club, which is, like, daycare and stuff like that.
Our mission was to, it was like a work camp to help do home improvements for people who A, did not have the ability, or B, did not have the funding.
Please do not hear this as a slam on these nice kids who went to do a good thing. This is intended for us to consider being wise about how we're spending our money, our energy, our resources on reaching people. What you just heard is a description of what I would suggest should not be called a missions trip, but a mercy ministry. Whether we do it locally or overseas, internationally, where we help people, we dig a well, we build a home, that's not a missions trip. That is not being sent to bring the gospel. That is being sent to do a kind thing, to do a merciful thing. And that is a swell thing to be doing. But it is not a missions trip per se, where we focus on conversion.
In Matthew 28:19, Jesus issued what we call the Great Commission. Are you familiar with that?
Could you explain it?
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How do you think we should go about doing that?
Honestly, I like the whole idea with, like, killing with kindness.
Go out and help people and just be a servant.
I don't know. What was the question again?
How would you say we are to do that, to fulfill what Jesus issued in the Great Commission?
I don't know. Huh.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
I don't know.
I think just going everywhere, no matter where you go, whether it's to a friend's house or to Haiti or somewhere else in your city, going there and just having an open heart and loving on them.
I think that we need to be going to other countries and even in the mission field around us and telling people about Jesus, which people think is scary and you can't do it, but you really can.
I think we need to meet people where they're at, rather than walking into a situation and saying, I'm here to save you.
Just going out, like, in a community and showing God's love through, like, your gifts that He's given you, or just showing God's love to them, making them happy. And I feel like that's a lot of what it means to do that.
Because if you show people and they're like, that person's really nice or whatever, I wonder why that is.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. Let's be careful here with being judgmental. Now that you and I have knowledge from a really geeky sociologist and we've learned that conversionary missions trips have both eternal and temporal benefits, we don't want to condescend and judge these kids. They simply reflect the predominant mindset in evangelical Christianity today. Raise a lot of money, go for a week or two, and do nice things, and we misnomer it a missions trip when it's really a mercy ministry, which is just swell. However, now that we've learned that conversionary missionary activity saves people and improves their living conditions, maybe, just maybe, just tossing this one out there, it's time for us to reconsider what we're doing on missions trips.
That was Todd Friel from a show called Wretched, and that was the clips that they have on YouTube, and that one was called Our Short Terms Mission Trips a Good Idea. And this is me, Melissa Cantrell, here on Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm going to do a song next. This one is by Timothy Brindle, and it is called The All Sufficiency of Christ, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
This is the all-sufficiency of Christ in the gospel of grace to restore ruined sinners to himself for their joy in his glory. Check it out now. I'm asked by my peers, hey, where have you been the last 5 years? I stay buried in sin. I thought I was righteous, but that's a mirage. So God snatched off my mask and facade, exposing the true me. When you, the Holy One, showed me what you see, I was loathing this lewd scene, but it was only so you could show me your beauty. The beauty of your deep compassion for needy cats who are steeped in mad sin. But because of Jesus bleeding, gasping, now before God my sin's completely absent. Cause on the cross it was like my hell. So now my righteousness is Christ himself. Because of the blood spill, your mountain of grace done smothered my dumbbell.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace.
So you convinced that you're ruined, and the proof is the bad fruit of the sin that you're brewing. Sick of the emptiness you're pursuing, so what can fix the brokenness of a human? Our help is not in 12 steps, or in books on the shelf that sells best. Like health and wealth mess that compels self-flesh. Cause with self-help, guess what, you help less. Cause in self is indwelt death, so it's not an attempt to keep self-well kept. Only Jesus Christ himself can save us from ourselves and hell's depths. So what's the remedy for your sinning? Is it in performance-driven moralism? No, nope. It's only falling on the Lord who's risen, whose infinite grace is of course sufficient to be reborn, forgiven, and adorned with wisdom, and freed from your morbid or no prison, and equipped for his mission. Only beholding his glory can transform a Christian.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace.
So name your need, he knows your strength is weak. The unchanging grace of the Savior's deep. In Christ Jesus every saint's complete. So come by faith to our faithful priest.
What is faith?
It's just an empty hand that receives the grace of the precious Lamb, namely God the Son crushed as your payment. His perfect life is our justification. So the gospel's not just for unbelievers. Every day we should trust and run to Jesus. Confess and plead, we're wretched seed, but his once for all death perfected me. So when you come to the Son, behold this, the riches of God in abundant fullness. When you come to his blood, your soul gets peace with God, abundant love and wholeness. I'm now making the argument, the most foregone sinner who's dark and grim can be restored by Christ who pardoned him. Cause Christ's abounding grace is larger than your heart of sin that's hard within, or all who his irresistible grace is targeting. Cause the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation from start to end.
Listen! So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and the fear, oh, most clearly seen and the gospel of grace. Follow me now, listen me now, follow me now, see. After his sense of the Almighty. That's right. Lambo, you know who it is. Jesus, the Messiah. He's all sufficient, y'all, and it don't stop.
Denying science. This is Ken Ham, and the Answers in Genesis Ministry is celebrating 20 years of outreach. Is evolution necessary for science? TV host Bill Nye says yes. Nye often claims that children must learn evolution because, he says, we need people that can be engineers, that can build stuff and solve problems. But you know, Nye has missed the difference between observational and historical science. You see, observational science is what scientists do every day in the lab. It can be observed, tested, repeated. Historical science, such as creation and evolution, can't. Now, we don't need to believe in evolution and millions of years to do good observational science. Children need to understand the difference between these two types of science so they can think critically about evolution.
Want to know more about science and the Bible? Visit our award-winning website, AnswersInGenesis.org. You'll find out more about creation scientists at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Thankful for godly mothers. This is Ken Ham, a missionary with a passion for God's Word and the Gospel. This Sunday in America is Mother's Day. It's a time to honor our mothers for the ways they've impacted and blessed us. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about godly mums. And like so many other essential doctrines, the role of the woman is first established in Genesis. Proverbs 31 is a description of the woman God designed mothers to be. And my mother demonstrated the traits of Proverbs 31. She also never compromised God's word. Today I'm truly blessed when I see committed godly parents, mothers who pray daily for their children, and fathers who are clearly the leaders. Christian parents, I urge you to model this for your children. Let's rise up and bless mothers on this Mother's Day.
Want to know more about the unique roles of men and women? Visit our faith-defending website. You'll be encouraged at AnswersInGenesis.org.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because of anything I've done. There's a reason and it's the only one.
By grace through faith,
yeah.
that was a song called Saved by Goldfish here on Trippy Total Radio. I want to thank you for listening, and remember you could also check us out at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and on Facebook is Truth Be Told Radio, and Twitter, but it's Truth, the letter B, Told Radio, like just B, not B. And let's see, what I'm going to do next is play more from Answers in Genesis. Here on Truth Be Told Radio.
The Genesis Flood, not a legend. This is Ken Ham, a missionary to our evolutionized culture and even the church. A common claim today is that the Genesis Flood is just another myth. Even some Christians believe that the account in Genesis is no different than pagan mythology. You see, in the 1800s, the Babylonian flood legend, the Epic of Gilgamesh, was discovered. Now, it had some similarities to the Bible's account of the global flood. Many academics believe the Bible just retold the epic. The Epic of Gilgamesh is a long poem that describes a coming flood. Now, there are a few similarities to Scripture's account of the flood, but many more differences. Is there any basis for the claim that the Genesis flood is just a myth taken from pagan writings? No. Actually, the opposite is true. But we'll learn more about that tomorrow.
How do we know we can trust the Bible? You'll find out when you visit our faith-defending website. Learn the true history of our earth at answersingenesis.org.
I remember when people used to say things like Merry Christmas to each
a great high priest whose name can so change the brakes myself. Let's see here. How do I do? There's nothing to it. Ow! Oh!
Hi, Daddy. What you doing?
I'm fixing the brakes on Mommy's car.
What are brakes?
Well, they...
Why do they need fixed? Can I drive Mommy's car when I'm big?
Yeah.
Daddy, can I help?
We have questions all throughout our lives. But as we get older, they become more difficult to answer. Why do we see so much death and suffering if there's a loving God? Is interracial marriage biblical? And did God use evolution to create? To find answers to these questions and many others, go to AnswersRadio.com.
Daddy, is it fake, Daddy?
Can you ask your mommy to bring me a Band-Aid?
This has been a message from Answers in Genesis at AnswersRadio.com.
Humans made in the image of God. This is Ken Ham, author and speaker on why we can trust the Bible. We often hear about people struggling with their identity and significance. They aren't sure what their purpose in life is. Much of it is the result of accepting evolutionary teachings. You see, many people believe they're nothing more than animals. But the Bible gives a very different picture of human beings. You know, we often want to tie our significance to our achievements or to what others think of us. But Scripture tells us that what's important is how our Creator views us. Humans are unique in the order of creation. When God created mankind, He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." God never speaks of animals and plants this way. This week, join me as we learn about the image of God in humanity.
Want to know more about what makes humans unique? Visit our Bible-defending website at AnswersInGenesis.org. Learn about God's love for us at AnswersInGenesis.org.
The unique dignity of humans. This is Ken Ham, president of the ministry building a full-size ark near Cincinnati. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that mankind has a special place in creation. Humans, not animals or plants, are made in the image of God. Now, this doesn't mean we reflect the physical appearance of God. God is spirit. But human beings have a special dignity as image bearers of God. We can know God, love Him, and worship Him. We can also think, reason, and choose between right and wrong. And Romans 1 tells us that we can look at the world and see that there is a Creator. Most important, God has given only humans the opportunity to have a relationship with Him through Christ. The image of God in us allows us to fellowship with Him, but that image is marred, as we'll find out tomorrow.
You'll learn more about the image of God in humans when you visit our faith-building website. Learn what Christ has done for us at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Sin and the image of God. This is Ken Ham, a publisher of the award-winning family magazine, Answers. Yesterday we learned that the image of God in mankind allows us to fellowship with our Creator. In the beginning, Adam and Eve experienced a full communion with God. Death wasn't part of the world. So what happened? Well, sin entered the world. Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God and forever changed the course of human history. The image of God in humans was marred by sin, and death, pain, and suffering entered the world. People now search for significance in themselves and what they can do instead of in the Creator. Man basically worships himself instead of the one true God. But God's provided a solution to our sin problem, Jesus Christ. Learn more tomorrow.
How has the curse affected the world? You'll find out when you visit our award-winning website. Learn about our hope in Christ at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Christ, the image of God. This is Ken Ham, an Aussie transplant with a passion for the Bible and the gospel. Yesterday we learned that the image of God in man was marred by sin, but not beyond repair. You see, God the Father gave us a promise of hope and restoration. He promised to send a man who'd conquer Satan and end the reign of sin and death. Christ is the Son of God and the one God promised to send. Through His crucifixion and resurrection, Christ guaranteed the end to death and sin one day. As a result, salvation is found in Christ alone, through faith alone. Jesus is the true image of God, not just a copy of the original. He's fully God, and He shows us the glory of God. What's more, when He comes again, He'll be manifested as the true image of God.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Learn more about the good news of the gospel when you visit our faith-building website, AnswersInGenesis.org. AnswersInGenesis.org.
The image of Christ restored in us. This is Ken Ham, author of the new but best-selling book, 6 Days. This week we've been learning about the image of God in man and how sin and death have affected that image. Now, the image of God in man needs to be restored and renewed. So where does that renewal come from? Well, we have to look to Christ for salvation and change. The Apostle Paul reminds us that those who have received salvation have put off the old man and put on the new man. We must pursue Christ in his image, knowing that we will be like him in the new creation. You see, Christ is our only hope for restoring the image of God in us. Without saving faith in his life, death, and resurrection, that image will remain marred by our sin. I urge you to repent and believe in Christ today.
You'll learn more about the image of God when you visit our website, AnswersInGenesis.org. Also, learn about the full-size ark we're building at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Go, S.O.
Let move, yeah. Come strong, move to God, yeah. God alone, yeah. Solely,
solely.
Deo,
Deo.
Gloria,
Gloria.
Here we go,
yeah.
If you hate it and seen, then you know what I mean. We go.
subliminal. Why should we be subliminal? When it comes to goodness, our God is at the pinnacle. If God is approving it, then it's good. That's the principle. Humanity is minimal. The Lord is the original. Fountain of benevolence, boundless in measurement, abounding in blessedness. It is mountains of evidence, found in the testaments, resounding these sentiments. We drown in his benefits from towns to the settlements. His goodness expressed in the natural and physical. From rocks and minerals to toxic chemicals. Stop being cynical, not trying to be traditional. But God is good
all the time,
no interval. While doubt is a pessimist, clown what he represents. His smile towards the penitent, endowed us with medicine. Now that we've been convinced, we shout without hesitance. Crown his excellency now and forever, friend.
Yeah, okay.
If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He's good. His nature is love, everything that he does. He's good. Even when it gets tough, yes, the Lord is enough. He's good. Yes, God makes it plain to the land who is slain. He's good. Yeah, okay. Understand God is good apart from anything he's done for me. And still his goodness has blessed me abundantly. I try to give a summary, beginning with his love for me. And sending Christ to die, yes, the blood of Jesus covers me. Our years he can make them new, our fears he's awakened to. He hears when we're praying and he's there when the payment's due. His spirit enables you to fear him and praise him through. The tears we can say it's true, he's near when we're breaking through. Whether we are suffering or living in luxury, his works toward his people are all done lovingly. They're never done stubbornly, and with a hidden treasury. Every single sunrise provides a new discovery. It's clear what he came to do. See us like Isaiah knew. He'd appear as a baby who was reared as a faithful Jew. And here's for a shady crew, appeared in the faintest view. So here's what we're made to do, revere him, to praise his due. Yeah, okay.
If
you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He's good. And his nature is love, everything that he does. He's good. Even when it gets tough, yes, the Lord is enough. He's good. Yes, God makes it plain to the land who is slain. He's good. Yeah, okay.
Keep this and listen, the keys in the ignition. The goodness of God can be seen in his provision. In each of his decisions, he's leaving the inscription. That is needless and grievous just to keep him in derision. It's cool to know his goodness never changes, immutable. It's true when we can't explain this, he's inscrutable. And we are not delusional, these facts are indisputable. I know it sounds unusual, I'll show you how it's provable. Adam and Eve had freedom with one restriction. Satan deceived them from Eden, received eviction. To leave us in the crazy condition, which leads the addictions. But Jesus' afflictions free those believing he's risen. God's goodness seen at the cross, irrefutable. On his gospel truth, we will stand immovable. And glorify God for his goodness is suitable. Just cause it's a duty, no, just because he's beautiful. Yeah, okay. If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He's good. And his nature is love, everything that he does. He's good. Even when it gets tough, yes, the Lord is enough. He's good. Yes, God makes it plain to the land who is slain. He's good. If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He's good. And his nature is love, everything that he does.
Shining song with the one called Taste and See, and find out more about him at lampmode.com, LAMPMODE. That is his record label, and name is spelled SHAINNLINNE. Thanks for listening to Be Told Radio, and here's more from Answers and Justice.
Cotton, designed with people in mind. This is Ken Ham on a mission to strengthen the church with God's word. We can't cook or eat cotton, and yet there are many farms dedicated to raising it. cotton's value can be very easily overlooked. Well, these little white tufts reveal to us just how bountiful God's creation is. All you have to do is look at the tag on a pair of jeans, a towel, or a shirt. There's a percentage of cotton in almost all of them. You know, cotton gets spun into more than just clothes. The oil from crushed seeds is found in salad dressing, mayonnaise, and the icing for cakes. Manufacturers can even use parts of the cotton plant to make plastics and even higher quality paper. Our Creator certainly had us in mind when He designed something as useful as cotton.
You'll find out more about the useful plants in God's creation when you visit our award-winning website, answersingenesis.org. You'll be encouraged. Answersingenesis.org.
Cotton, not just a modern marvel. This is Ken Ham, heading up the ministry building a full-size ark near Cincinnati. Yesterday we learned that God created cotton with people in mind. It's an incredible plant with many uses, but we aren't the first to discover this about the cotton plant. Throughout history, people around the world have been using cotton. Not long after the global flood of Noah, people as far as India, Egypt, Mexico spun the fibers into their clothing, and a Greek historian wrote about the trees that grow wool. Today, cotton is used to make jeans, shirts, socks, and many things. God designed cotton to be warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Did you know a cotton towel can soak up almost 27 times its own weight in water? Cotton is a remarkable evidence of God's handiwork in creation.
Want to know more about God's design in creation? Visit our Bible-defending website, answersingenesis.org. Learn more about useful plants at answersingenesis.org.
Soli Deo Gloria, yeah, yeah. Once again, yeah. It's the church, man, called and collected. A lot of confusion about what makes up a healthy church. So we're going to look at the first mark. Because without this one, you're in bad shape. Let's do it.
Yeah. With our raps, we adore our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, who deserves all our claps and applause for the wrath that he bore at the cross for our blasphemous thoughts and the classless acts of a whore. He gave up his life with the passionate roar, was raised up to heights where he sat at before. After this all, he gave pastors the call to ministry found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, what I first want to do is come to you, the church, to reverse the funny view. So let me ask a question. What's most essential? What is it that gives the local church is credential? Some would say music, some would say deacons, others say reaching the lost and soul seeking. But if we want to give God the glory in our meetings, the most important thing is expository preaching. Where are the witnesses? Where are the spurges? Preach the word, preach the word. We need sound theology to deal with reality. Preach the word, preach the word. We got enough rappers, we need more pastors. Preach the word, preach the word. We need explanation and deep application. Preach the word, preach the word.
This verse right here is for the congregation. This is what y'all need to be listening for.
Yeah, let me explain what I mean. It's not too complex. It's preaching God's word in its proper context. As you listen, be discerning. But you have to determine, what's the point of the passage, the point of the sermon? If not, this problem must be confronted today, because he just used the Bible to say what he wanted to say. What? And even if it's delivered with fire and intelligence, that's basically making what God has inspired irrelevant. Instead of applying the word's reality, a lot of pastors rely on personality, but gifts of communication can never be a true replacement for the Holy Spirit's illumination. Without exposition, you'll lack major profit. All you'll get is tradition and your pastor's favorite topics, and that can be a slippery slope. The word should be giving you hope. This dude is just giving you jokes. That won't help you love Christ. It won't help your obedience. We need more expositors, not more comedians. With shepherds who labor in the text and faithfully connect you to the Savior, then wait for its effect. God gives the increase. Holiness, love, unity. The word faithfully preached builds up the whole community. If not, your Sunday meal will not last, and you'll have to supplement it with the podcast. Don't entertain us, that won't sustain us. Preach the word, preach the word. Careful instruction, not a big production. Preach the word, preach the word. We don't need theatrics and mansion attraction. Preach the word, preach the word. We're on the brink of eternity, please speak earnestly. Preach the word,
you gotta
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the pastors. I just want to encourage y'all, man.
Yeah. Y'all should be mindful of this devout thesis. All of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament, Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament, Jesus Christ revealed. This truth of the Lord Christ boldly conveyed this in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. The law, the prophets, and the teachings of apostles. All of these point back to Jesus and the gospel. But if the work of Christ is what the word is about, ultimately that should be what the sermon's about. Forget applause, you got to let the cross rock ya. All roads in the Bible lead to Golgotha. Whatever the text, faithfulness demands that we should hear the echoes of nails hit in his hands. Don't try to be original, say the old story, and watch your people change as they behold glory. The glory is Jesus, we need to see it.
Preach the word, come on. Preach the word,
make Christ the center so new life can enter.
Preach the word, we gotta preach the word,
give us the whole counsel along with the gospel.
Preach the word, preach the word,
this is your duty, show us God's beauty.
Preach the word,
we gotta
preach the word.
Yeah, so that's it, man, that's the charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he charges him to preach the word. And yo, it's a lot of good resources out there, you know what I'm saying? Spirit Empowered Preaching by my man Art Azurdia. Christ-Centered Preaching by Brian Chappell. The Supremacy of God in Preaching by John Piper. Get these resources, man. More than anything, dig into the Word of God. Meditate on it and give it to your people. Grace and peace. Yeah.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. And cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, cause some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as the angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cause. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then, yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You wanna know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money, money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell. Down. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
Osteen John.
Let him know.
Preble Dollar is a
Osteen John.
Well to well.
Benny Hinn is a
Osteen John.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a
Osteen John.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a
Osteen John.
Let him know.
Paula White is a
Osteen John.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a
Osteen John.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a
Osteen John.
Well to well.
Robert Tilton is a
Osteen
John.
I know they're popular.
prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
That was Shinon's song called False Teachers, and before that we had a song called Expository Teaching. So one's talking about bad teachers, one's talking about the good ones. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Next I'm going to play a song that's one of my favorite by Shinon. It's called Penelope Judd here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, cause all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn,
off
your turn.
We go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad cause part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Cause all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm gonna see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody gonna make me stay. I'm gonna see the king, I'm on my way.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep,
going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
You turn,
long
you turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town.
Thank you.
That was Guitar Boy 70, as in 70, Guitar Boy 70 from YouTube, and that song is called Be Thou My Vision here on Truth Be Told Radio. And next one I'll do is do a song from Shylin, and this one's called Faithful God here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Theology is, theology is, theology is, theology is. Theology is the study of God, and it's very important. Doxology is an expression of praise to God. So, the point here is that all theology should ultimately lead to doxology. If theology doesn't lead to doxology, then we've actually missed the point of theology. So if you have theology without doxology, you just have dead, cold orthodoxy, which is horrible, right? On the other side, you have the people who say, ah, forget about theology, I just want to praise, right? But if you have doxology without theology, you actually have idolatry. Because it's just a random expression of praise, but it's not actually informed by the truth of who God is. So God is concerned with both. He's concerned with an accurate understanding of him, and that accurate understanding of him leading to a response of praise, adoration, and worship towards him.
That is called the Doxology Intro. That's D-O-X-O-L-O-G-U-Y by Shannon. And I got that one from, I think I got from YouTube. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Canchola. Find out more about me at smilesandstuff.com. SmilesandStuff.com. My personal website, and also you can see about Truth Be Told Radio at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. Now I'm going to play more from Answers in Genesis.
The Genesis Flood, not a legend. This is Ken Ham, a missionary to our evolutionized culture and even the church. A common claim today is that the Genesis flood is just another myth. Even some Christians believe that the account in Genesis is no different than pagan mythology. You see, in the 1800s, the Babylonian flood legend, the Epic of Gilgamesh, was discovered. Now, it had some similarities to the Bible's account of the global flood. Many academics believe the Bible just retold the epic. The Epic of Gilgamesh is a long poem that describes a coming flood. Now, there are a few similarities to Scripture's account of the flood, but many more differences. Is there any basis for the claim that the Genesis flood is just a myth taken from pagan writings? No. Actually, the opposite is true. But we'll learn more about that tomorrow.
How do we know we can trust the Bible? You'll find out when you visit our faith-defending website. Learn the true history of our earth at answersingenesis.org.
Genesis, divinely inspired history. This is Ken Ham, a publisher of the award-winning family magazine, Answers. Yesterday we learned that many academics accuse the Bible of simply plagiarizing pagan myths and legends, but these myths were written as fiction, and hearers wouldn't have taken them to be real history. In contrast, Genesis presents every detail of the flood as a historical event. Now, the Bible claims to be divinely inspired, and since God cannot lie, we expect all of his historical claims to be true. And you know, unlike myths, the Bible records even small historical details about ancient cultures. It also shares the shortcomings of its heroes. This kind of blunt honesty is very unusual in ancient myths. And what's more, the rest of Scripture considers the events of Genesis 1 to 11 as real history.
You'll learn more about why we can trust God's Word when you visit our award-winning website. Find out Earth's true history at answersingenesis.org.
The Global Flood, discrediting myths. This is Ken Ham, a missionary with a passion for God's Word and the Gospel. This week we're discussing how the Bible's account of Noah's flood challenges pagan legends. You see, many scholars claim that Genesis just retells other myths. But really, the Genesis account discredits these myths. Unlike the Bible, ancient Near Eastern myths like the Epic of Gilgamesh are implausible and inconsistent. The boat in the Gilgamesh epic was shaped like a cube and built in just 7 days. There's no way it was seaworthy. Also, the gods in this epic are fickle. They decide to destroy life, but they then give one man eternal life. After they wipe out humanity, they regret it because they need sacrifices for nourishment. No, the God of the Bible is perfectly consistent, as we see in his word.
You'll find out more about the account of Noah's flood when you visit our faith-building website. Learn how the flood changed earth at answersingenesis.org.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Yeah. We'll start right now. His name is Mike Brown. Okay. Born in Detroit, but raised in Chi-Town. Yeah. See, Mike was bright, but Mike liked to fight. From night to night, all types, Mike would strike down. No PG at 13, Mike was R-rated. Uh-oh. By 14, behind bars, incarcerated. Released at 15, straight path, no-brainer. Okay. Parole officer hooked him up with a trainer. Yeah. Trainer was a Christian. Father figure in, told him discipline. Turned him into a junior Olympian. No doubt with the hand skills, Mike was nice. But God rocked him, and Mike gave his life to Christ. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Son, stand up and testify." The very next words that you heard coming through the speaker: "I used to be a thug, but now I'm a believer."
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Story number two, by the girl named Sue. Raised in the burbs not far from St. Louis. Sue's intelligence was prodigious. She wasn't religious. In fact, she thought Christians were all superstitious. She thought the arguments were inconsistent. Didn't find them convincing. Full-paid scholarship to Princeton. Freshman year, she had a roommate named Tristan. In God's providence, Tristan was a Christian. She gave Sue a copy of Mere Christianity. To reading it, Sue got convicted of a vanity. When she discovered the love of Christian sisters and brothers for each other, when the Lord grabbed a hold of her, the congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sis, stand up and testify." Sue said, "Jesus made it even new. Want to know my testimony? Read Ephesians 2.
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Yeah. Story number three, we'll call her Cece. Okay. Raised in Maryland, not far from D.C. Uh-huh. She got a lot to cherish. Thank God she's not embarrassed about her parents because they had a rock-solid marriage. Right. Father straight loved her, gave like no other. Yeah. Raised with her brother by a stay-at-home mother. Her life always had the true God in the mix because her parents understood Deuteronomy 6. She was raised in the fear of the Lord. Amazing grace appeared and she was saved at the mere age of 4. A true clear conviction, the oldest replaced. She's a proof-bearing Christian who's growing in grace. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sis, stand up and testify." CC said, "I ain't got no horror story. God saved me in my youth. I give him all the glory."
If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, "Yo, man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical." And I was like, "Word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you heap, you find it's dead.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you heap, you find it's dead.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. Our topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The condescension nobody could have anticipated. Precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin. Cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives. But only God can take the wrath of God and survive. Yeah. See the humanly unsolvable obstacle? With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain.
Yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah,
self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah,
he's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical, holy principle.
Yeah,
possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
As the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too, matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule from the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of its power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah.
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness, beyond what the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous.
Yeah, Selah. Let's just let that sink in for a second.
Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set.
Yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set.
Yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he does, becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping?
Yeah,
they got you tripping, me too. But the scripture is true, Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subject of the gospel, praise of apostles, armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils.
Who is this Jesus?
God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain?
Huh?
See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God-man, soul-seeker, the hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word up.
Spiritual analogies. The hypostatic union.
Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all.
What up, Canada?
Yeah.
That's the miracle of the hypostatic union. And a song by Shiner. And what I'm going to do for you next is I'm going to play from Answers in Genesis here on Truth Be Told Radio.
The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is Ken Ham, an Aussie-American with a passion for the Bible and the Gospel. Have you ever considered how important the resurrection is? You see, the miracle of the resurrection secured the hope of every believer, and it's even a sign for unbelievers. The apostles believed that Christ's resurrection was so important that it became the heart of their message. With confidence, they went forth knowing their message was true, and they turned the world upside down with the gospel. They faced death and persecution along the way. Some Christians only think about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. It should always be central to the gospel. Sadly, many people who've been taught evolution have rejected the Bible's history, including the message of the resurrection. This week, we'll look at the biblical evidence for Christ's resurrection.
Want to learn more about the life of Christ? Visit our Bible-defending website at answersingenesis.org. Learn what Christ has done for us at answersingenesis.org.
Our next selection finds us moving through the corridors of a local hospital. As we enter into room 168, we encounter Mr. Smith, who is moments away from death. Let's listen in on his inner monologue.
Yeah.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me. Who knew that I'd be shook up as I look up to the heavens and see it's near with IVs hooked up like secrets. It was nice to be kept by Christ. Now every night's a deep sweat from a life of regrets that feel it's gone. Was faith real, not fake like silicone? Fretting like it's okay, like little John was filling songs. My will was drawn to this common facade. Lord, now I repent for each debt in your armor of God. Knowing this is your name that we defraud, without holiness no one shall see the Lord. My heart I can't mask from you, don't wanna be a part of your massacre. Please don't stop my cardiovascular. I hope I rep C-H-R-I-S-T. It's four of them so good I could win an SB like Wayne Gretzky. Lord, put my heart at ease, please, before I decrease my BP. And they saying clear, I need CC. I think I'm losing them because I'm bruised from sin within. And don't think I'll see your new Jerusalem, you're just Lord. I need to be assured, I'm unsure and insecure that within abounds your grace is much more. I need to get confidence, believe in your promises of Jesus' accomplishments, not help from the drugstore. Cause mostly my reputation was counter world as defecation, yet I proceed with trepidation. Sin was strong and my deadliest foe. Steady wrong, am I ready to go? I pray to God cause it's hard to accept. My heart's heavy, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go. Although you had promised I would live again, for believing in Jesus I'm forgiven. Yet I'm shivering from hidden sin, cause in the back of my mind I knew I struggled as my pastime. Now I'm scared to flatline.
Next, we move down the hall to the cancer wing, room 197, the room of Mr. Jones. His situation is very similar to Mr. Smith's. Let's listen in.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me. Life was quick, but these last breaths seem the longest. I'm on the brink of entering everything that you promised. My heart skips thinking of what I'll be in the moment. This joy is undeniably precious fruit of atonement. I cry tears of happiness, cause looking back, I see the track that you sovereignly mapped for me. I see immaculate. The cross of Christ, the source of price, and your grace that carried me. I persevered in shadows of brothers who walked the path of me. In just a few breaths, I walk into a marriage feast and taste your goodness without getting a cavity. Your majesty will light up the city that we'll inhabit, and the land will be the lamp in the middle. There'll be no PM. I tremble at the fact that I'll be captured by the blazing glory of the one that I've been waiting to see. And I'll see him. Yeah. To see his face and worship perpetually won't be boring, cause his flesh won't be a hitch anymore. I'll be restored to the morning after morning. And cause you bled death, I'll leave here on his hospital bed and step into the presence of the bridegroom in heaven.
No more valleys to try to track through. 11 to fight against, all things will be made new. No struggling to pray, we'll sing of your glory with angels. I'm eager to go, I know I'm a part of your kingdom. Upon Christ's seeds, I'll see bliss when the beat comes. My life was long and I'm ready to go. I stood strong and I'm ready to go. Can't wait to sing along with it long up in heaven, you know. It's where I belong, I'm ready to go. My feet are worn down hard from running this marathon in the trenches. Was far from pretending, press on with repentance. So now it's time for me to pass the baton, and at long last I'll pass on into heaven.
Finally, as we leave Mr. Jones's room, we travel upstairs to room 235, where we encounter Mr. Michaels, also moments away from death. Let's hear what's going on in his mind.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me. Yo, in a hospital bed, blood clots in my head, body chock full of meds, and I got to be fed through a tube. I'm comatose, wet food, aromas gross, pursue lewd moods as a refuge, overdose, frantic seizure, life empty, scary, demanded leisure, anesthesia, temporary amnesia. I'm found in this predicament, surrounded by significant others. My mother is crowded and I'm listening. I hear a person's voice that I don't recognize, praying for me. It must be a reverend in his lies, nurse checking in my eyes, ain't getting no replies. If she knew I heard everything, I bet she'd be surprised. My family's upsetting me with cries. What they crying for? If I could speak, I'd ask the reverend what he lying for. He said something about believing in the Lord. That's ridiculous. We all know that Jesus was a fraud. Atheism is logical. Blind faith is comical. Seven-day creation and Satan are mythological. The Bible's full of statements made by men who were shaken, too scared to face the end. The reverend said, don't be hostile to the gospel. Choose it. The only gospel I like is gospel music. He said if I understood him, take my finger and wiggle one. But if I could, if I would've gave him the middle one. Because he's wrong and I'm ready to go. Son, I'm strong, yo, I'm ready to go. If it's on, then it's on, bring it on. I'm ready to go, let's get it on. Son, I'm ready to go. I'm anticipating, hitting the essence. I'll crash through the gate in minutes or seconds. His antics are fake, so I'm dissing the reverend. My last action shaking, my fist at the heavens. Shaking my fist at the heavens, my lifetime pastime, but now no more natural light shines, flatline. Just as I was dissing his name, I'm hit with the flame as my soul left my physical frame. Frightened, my senses heightened, defenseless against this relentless lightning. A stampede of thunderclaps, I can't breathe, it's like I'm running laps with my lung collapse. I can't leave, I'm fucking trapped. Meanwhile, I am no longer seen now. The life I lived in the body, that feels like the dream now. And I've awakened to a real life nightmare. It's quite clear, no use putting up a fight here. My destiny is sealed. A true catastrophe with future agonies that have yet to be revealed. And that thought alone is such a blow to me, it's terrible. Cause what I'm feeling right now is totally unbearable. I'm disembodied, met my worst fear, mentally. Every second like a year, every year a century. No one that I can call, I'm crushed under a wall of holy fury, amazed by the justice of it all. Getting what I deserve, in fact my soul is burning black. I crossed over the threshold, never to be saved. Eternal is the furnace and it ain't no turning back. Oh God, just let me send my fam a letter from the grave.
Having lunged fist first into a fixed state of horror and agony, Mr. Michaels attempts to gather his bearings. As he scrambles to find a way to warn his family, little does he know that, as sincere as he may be, the following efforts are sadly in vain.
Oh God, oh God, I'm in agony right now. I'm in agony in this fire. Please. My parents, my sisters, my cousins, my nieces,
friends, co-workers, everybody needs to read this. You probably thinking I'm in heaven smiling down upon you, but it's not true. I'm writing this now to warn you. I'm serious, wish I could put a gun to your face. Whatever it takes to make you listen, don't come to this place. I made tons of mistakes when I was there with y'all, certainly. The worst by far was not preparing for eternity. It's crazy. I don't even know how to tell y'all, but I'm in hell, y'all. And I know it's upsetting to hear, it's upsetting to be here, but I write so you get it and see clear. I don't have all the answers, I grope for more, but there are a couple of things that I know for sure. Reincarnation is a lie, there's no such thing as Satan lie. Getting to heaven through meditation, that's a lie. Yo, it's vital we build, homicidal I feel, your pride will be killed. The God of the Bible is real, y'all know. I ain't read the Bible a day in my life, but he's the one who's inflicting all my pain and my strife. So get a Bible and read it, whatever you read, believe it. After believe in, eat it, sleep it, and breathe it. There's much more to this man Jesus. Observe the story, and I can tell you that there's no such thing as purgatory. What I wouldn't give to have your opportunity. I see my pride is ruining me. Ignoring God is lunacy. There's no comfort, all shame, no peace. There's no slumber, all pain, it don't cease. So don't be lax when attack with distractions. The fashions and attractions had me relaxing. Now I'm awake for the first time ever, but from the goodness of God's works I'm severed. Regretting all the tracks that I threw in the trash, regretting moving fast in pursuit of the cash, regretting spending all my life trusting myself, regretting not reading the Bible up on my shelf, regretting all the stuff in life that had me caught up, regretting switching the subject when Christ was brought up, regretting not going to church when my friends invited me, regretting...
That was a song, As the Hour Draws Near, by Shylin. Once again, you check them out on lampmode.com, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E. This record label. And I want to say once again, thank you all for listening, and happy Mother's Day to you this day. And call your mom or text whatever you can. Tell her you love her. And thank you for listening to Tribute to Radio. We're going to go out as we came in with the B-I-B-L-E by Go Fish. Bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
Sing.